Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and do we have an amazing show for you today? We have some new guests, and guess what? We have some returning guests. What tends to happen is our guests come in, they have a wonderful time, and they decide to come back to provide you with more information, more entertainment, and just find out what's going on in the world. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and let me go ahead and introduce you to our first guest. Our first guest is Elizabeth Louise, and she is a professionally trained coach who focuses on your spirit. Good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm great. And it's actually Elizabeth Lewis, but I'm so happy to be here. Yes, yes. Lewis.
I always tell my guests the one thing that I do is always mess up the names.
Oh, it happens.
If I don't go over it or learn it or actually take the time to be considered and asked before the show, I guarantee you, your name could be Tom and you'll be Tim by the time I start the show. So thank you for that correction. Thank you for joining us.
I'm used to it my whole life. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And you have an excellent smile, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. And at least, you know, it's like your whole life. What tends to happen is I get the people who married and now they have their husband's name and they're like, it took me 20 years to be able to pronounce it. So I understand. But Lewis, I think I can do that. You know what? I heard Daryl. I can tell when Daryl is around, which brings me to our next guest, which is Andrea Cruz, who I love to death. And part of the reason why we had Andrea here is because I love her. I love what she does. But last week, we had Andrea's boyfriend, Daryl, as a guest. He was here on Friday, and he was talking, and he just has the most contagious laugh.
Doesn't he? Oh, my gosh. I think that was one of the things that really drew me to him, whereas everyone in the house, because I was at a retreat when we met on 4-4-2019, and everybody's just looking at him like, is that really your laugh? And I was just loving it. So it was one of the things that I loved about him. It was just so infectious.
Yes, it is. Yeah. We had a great time with him on the show. He taught us a lot, but this is not about Daryl. This is all about you today.
Yes, it is.
So, Andrea, she does mind, body, soul retreat. She's a therapy coach as well as a holistic psychotherapist. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay. Well, like you mentioned, I do have retreats, mind, body, heart, soul retreats, which is kind of on a little hiatus right now, being that we have the social distancing occurring, but not too much. It was so funny. Spirit told me at the beginning of the year that I was only going to be doing one retreat and it would be in October, which I was fine with because I had a lot of things to take care of in April. Which I've been taking care of recently. I've been meeting a lot of clients. As you had mentioned, I'm a humanistic psychotherapist. So it's basically a fancy way of saying holistic. I also belong to the American Psychological Association, the APA, since I think it was like 2017. And there's a division called Humanistic Existential, where I feel like it's all the hippies decided to create their own brand of psychology and people who are the more woo-woo nature. But the great thing about it is that you marry the science with that. So we have, and as a lot of science has right now, been confirming the miracle of spirit, of love, and how we can incorporate that in our day-to-day practice. And so that's really what I've been doing. I just had a special that was a 20-minute free session for the whole month of April. So I'm probably going to do something different for May, being that we still are on lockdown, but I'm really enjoying and taking advantage of this time being at home. And so I would like to be able to teach people on how they might be able to do that, you know, while we are sitting together, while we're, you know, our community is more so in home, but really take advantage of the time that we have to offer right now. Okay.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about that. We're going to figure out what we're going to offer the people for May. And it's a week because I have to be a part of this in somehow, some way. But I want to move over to our next guest who has returned for the third time. I'm just blown away because when I met her, I believe that she was on the very first show and or it was the first or second show. I just gotten started. It was kind of new, trying to figure it out. Yes, that's what I thought. The first show, and I was like, this lady is really nice, really cool. And we learned a lot. And one of the great things about having her back is I'm able to see her transition. So we talked about kind of where she was, then on the second show, where she was heading. So today we're going to find out where she is. So our next guest is Marlana White. And Marlana has strong opinions on fear tactics, following the intuition, and the need to be positive. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you for joining us. You look beautiful. Look like an angel there.
Thank you. I feel good. The sun is out. I'm enjoying the vitamin D in my backyard.
That's what I need. I need to step outside, give me some vitamin D. We're going to talk a little bit more with you. I want to move over to our next guest, David Sherwin. David, did I say your name correctly?
No, but you're not the first one.
Well, thank you for your honesty. Pronounce your name for me this morning, David.
It's Schwerin. Schwerin.
Schwerin. Okay. Well, I'm never going to get that, but I'm going to practice and I try. And it means a lot to me that your name is pronounced correctly, which is why I allowed you to do it. But we want to talk a little bit about your books during today's show. And you are an author who has written 3 books, published 3 books, and they're all about conscious capitalism. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. Well, I started my career in the investment world. And after about 25, 30 years, I was guided to sell my business. And I started to write some books. First one was Conscious Capitalism. That was published in 1998. And it really is about social responsible business. And the book was published in China and Brazil, and I was invited to go to China and spent the last 20 years working in China, introducing some ideas to China. And about the same time that my book was published, I was encouraged to learn about channeling and started to learn that process. As a result, I've been having a connection with spirit for the last 20-some years through monthly chats, and I've been more or less mentored about a lot of spiritual stuff, as well as my work in China and some other places. I do some writing for a website in India called Speaking Tree. And I've been doing that for about 8 years. So I keep busy with a variety of things and just trying to make the world a little better place.
That's what we need right now. That's what we all need right now is individual people trying to make the collective better, which brings us to our next guest, Irene. Good morning, Irene Chapelbel, CEO and founder of The Power of Writing. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? I'm having technical difficulties, but that's part of being an entrepreneur. So I'm just going with the flow. I'm here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. Your show is great.
Oh, thank you. You are so welcome. Don't worry about the technical difficulties. The only concern is if your arm gets a little tired. But other than that, you look beautiful. You are glowing. Your smile is contagious. I love it. You got your red shirt on. You're ready for the day. So again, don't even worry about it. We can see you. We can hear you. And at the end of the day, I believe that's the most important thing.
Yeah, well, I'm blessed. You know, I believe in miracles, and my computer couldn't get through the link through my laptop. So I'm improvising. I've got my phone, but I don't have my stand. So I'm sorry if it's moving. I have a stand, you know, when I do my videos, but that's okay. I'm here. And I'm also the founder of Zipping It Up. So, so I've got The Power of Writing and Zipping It Up as well.
Okay. You said a whole mouthful there. I love it. So I'm gonna go back to the stand. It's okay. When I first started doing the show, we were in the middle of the lockdown. Before it, I couldn't get my hair done. And everyone said, Sharifa, what are you gonna do? And I said, the show must go on. And like you said, entrepreneurs, entertainers. That's the one thing that we understand. The show must go on. The fact that you showed up as opposed to flaking on me, I'm already happy. I'm like, Irene, come on back. But what stood out to me is the what is Zipping It Up?
Oh, well, Zipping It Up is my first book. And so it's called Zipping It Up, How to Lose 5 Pounds Fast and Look Great in That Little Black Dress. And 2 months after I published my first book, I became the health and fitness expert on an award-winning live radio show with 2.5 million listeners. And it was so exciting. And more people were interested in how I published and wrote my first book than they were in my weight loss program. So I became a writing coach. Mm-hmm. And I have since written over a dozen books, which I'm in the process of getting published, business books, mostly in the self-help space. And I'm co-writing a book right now with my good friend, Janelle Gordon, called The 8 Faces of Freedom, which we're super excited about. And I'm just launching my very first writing course where I teach you how to write, publish, and promote your first book. So we have a lot going on.
How long is your course to write, publish, and promote your first book?
Well, it's a beta and it's a 5-week program. And I guarantee that you will have your first book written, published, and sold in 5 weeks or less.
I love it. I've written 2 books, but they both been, you know, they haven't done what I wanted them to do. So I may look into taking your course. And let me just ask you, one of the things that I've been told or one of the things that I've seen is with everything going on in the world in the quarantine, it sparked a lot of people to have a lot of creativity. Have you seen an increase in people who wanted to write their first book?
Well, I was just about to launch and I just started testing with my ads. And I pretty much, when this all happened, I had so much going on. I pretty much just put it at a complete halt. So I'm just getting ready this week to launch it, start running Facebook ads, YouTube ads, doing live trainings in various Facebook groups. So I honestly haven't even started the testing process to give you an honest answer to that. I think now that people are kind of settling into what people are calling the new normal, that a lot more people, I'm not sure if my eye's on the camera or if I'm upside down or what.
You are fine. You are beautiful. Talk to me.
Okay.
Focus on me.
So I guess what I'm, I think now people are ready to kind of sit down, start seriously thinking about, you know, how can I take my business to the next level? How can I scale my business? They've kind of, I think we've all kind of adjusted to, you know, to what's going on, where we can start to maybe start focusing more clearly. And hopefully I can help a lot of people now finally write that book that they've been thinking about for years or wanting to do. And everyone says, oh yeah, I'll get around to that. I don't have time for that. Well, now there really is no excuse. You can either watch Netflix all day long, right? In between everything else you're doing, or you can start working on that book during your extra free time, right?
So yes. I need to start working on my next book in my free time. I actually made a post on social media maybe about 6 weeks ago, and I was playing and I was on Bingo Blitz and talking, and my cousin posts, he was like, write your next book. I'm like, I can't just take one day to have fun. I've already written 2 books. They're like, no, you have to keep going. One of the things that I found interesting about the Roundtable Talk Show is, as you all know, I don't plan the date the guest decides to appear. They pick the date they're interested in and they show up. But I've started to see like certain guests kind of have the same theme. And it's interesting looking at all of you that to a certain extent you have some type of spiritual focus. Elizabeth, you deal with poaching people on the spirit, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of people forget about the spirit, and we're spirit beings. And, you know, just talking about the brain for a second, a lot of people have a limbic impairment, which is the limbic brain is part of our brain, clearly. And one of the best ways to heal that is actually through the spirit process and not through just the soul and mind process, which is just sometimes the danger of therapy and coaching in general, just anytime you talk, because so many people want to talk out their problems. It's like one of the worst things you can do. We need to focus on the power of casting the imagination of what you hope to have happen in the future, not what you're projecting that you don't want to have happen in the future, and really focusing on positivity and peace and joy. It's amazing how words really can repair your mind, change your genetics, and really restore your soul and your spirit.
When you say talk out your problems, because that's what I kind of keyed in on a focus. I don't know if anybody else heard anything different, but you said it's not a good idea to talk out your problems. But don't we have the ability to think positive and to create a positive future by the words that we speak and the words that we create today? Like, for instance, I love little tidbits of information. The word abracadabra, the literal meaning means I create what I speak. So yep. You're saying, you know, don't talk out your problems. So right. explain that to me.
Well, every word is a seed, and words really just help us to have imaginations in our mind. And, think if you've ever moved to a new city, if I asked you to go to the grocery store, you're like, what? I don't know how to go there. But once you've lived there for a little bit, you know how to get there. And in fact, if I ask any of you, can you go to the grocery store? You're already thinking of the best route because you have that goal. And so, you know, if you kind of think about your brain with all the synaptic nerve connections as just hiking trails, if we keep speaking negativity, we're just strengthening those synaptic nerve connections. So if we're speaking our problems, then we're just strengthening that. If we're speaking about our depression, we're just strengthening that. But if we start to speak and renew our mind around what we want to see, then we can start to strengthen those synaptic nerve connections, which is essentially, if you've ever gone hiking, just kind of, you know, that trail's been beaten down because many of people have walked upon it billions of times, most likely. So if you just kind of go off to the right or to the left by a few feet, you know, there's lots of debris, there's lots of trash, there's just lots of limbs. And so over time, you have to you'll beat it down. And that's just through re-exposure and constantly focusing on what you want, constantly speaking life and not death. It's just amazing the power words have over us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I think what you were saying is it's not necessarily the speaking aspect, is the aspect of just speaking about your problems as opposed to speaking and focusing on the solutions.
Well, I mean, it's both. It's really hard to focus on a solution if you're constantly focusing on your problems. Most of us are problem focused, when what we found in neuroscience and in just all of our research, and even what the Bible says, is our natural way of being is actually love. Toxic stress or operating fear is learned. Now, negativity is more powerful for the brain. I'm still learning more about that, so I can't really explain why, but we can change it. Got to think of your brain as like a on and off switch. So when you're thinking about love, joy, and peace, you're on. Your brain's not as lit up as when you're off, ironically, when you're thinking about that stress and that toxicity. So it's not worthwhile to speak out your problems. It's better to speak out the solution. Or we all have trauma. We've all gone through crap. Let's be real. So instead of speaking that negativity, find a way to reframe it. Where was the blessing? Because regardless of what you've gone through, I promise there is some small seed of a blessing in there, but it's your choice. What are you going to focus on? Because you can't focus on both.
That's an interesting point, especially with what we're going through now, because the focus is on the problems. And and we have to see what we can learn from what's happening now. And what the lesson, because there is obviously some very important lessons that we all have to learn and make some changes. And we're being waking up, shaken up. And so this is an important time for that.
And to your point,
I love that, what you just said. You hit the nail right on the head.
And it's kind of cool because what we're learning too is that, I don't know, because that thought just left so fast. Don't know if anyone else has that, but yeah, it happens to me sometimes.
I do that all the time, believe me, all the time, especially with my kids running around and people talking. I mean, like, it'll come back.
It just came back too.
Come on, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm David, sorry. No, you're fine, Irene. David, to your point too, what we found in neuroscience and neuropsychology is that the more we speak positive words and actually focus on positivity too, is actually naturally helps build our resilience. And so, you know, let's be real, I'm tired of my walls. I don't know if anyone else is tired of their walls. I would really like it's nice seeing everyone else's walls. It's a nice vacation for a second here. But if we can just kind of say and choose to say, I'm going to come out of this better and stronger and wiser, then that's a choice. But she can also ruminate and say, this sucks, I hate this, this is horrible. But the cool, the horrible thing and cool thing is when you speak that negativity, you're not just affecting yourself, you're affecting the listener as well. So now we're damaging two people and not just one. So there's really no, we're not being served when we focus on negativity, but it's amazing on how your brain and your spirit and your soul and even your body are being served when you really focus on the positivity of life. And it's not BS positivity. It's not that fluff that some people want to kind of cultivate, but the brain doesn't know the difference between the past and the present and the future. So when you kind of imagine those negative things, your body does think that it's under attack. And so the stress hormones will be produced.
I think that is really, that's really powerful that you are bringing about positive psychology in this. I've heard a couple of things that your message is about. It's acknowledging, but then restructuring to utilize the positivity that we all have in order to reframe the mind, you know? And that is very much what's in line with a lot of psychological practices. Is it's a matter of reframing and moving towards, you know, the positive, moving towards self-actualization, moving towards somebody who's really able to feel empowered, to know that they have the ability to see the world through a different lens. So I highly agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have my master's in positive psychology, so I'm really happy that there the we positive go. Psychology okay, is
so that's what I'm hearing. I was like, I know this. I'm familiar.
You know, it's really just retraining your brain. And it takes time. And what we found in neuroscience, which I think is so cool, but sadly so many people stop because we can't see our brain grow like we can see a bicep grow, is that if you just think about being more positive for an hour within a day, it doesn't have to be from like 12 to 1, but just throughout the day, accumulation of an hour, and you do that every single day for 6 months, so 180 days, you will actually have 90% improvement on anything that you want. So if you want to be thinner, if you, whatever it is you want, if you just spend time imagining it in your mind, you'll have improvement, because what we've proven in the Bible, or what the Bible says, but what we've also proven in neuroscience, is our most dominant thoughts are what we work to create. So what are you going to have? Negative thoughts or positive thoughts? You get to choose. That's the cool thing.
Right. Imagination and action, right? Yeah. You need to start applying what it is that you have put into motion. I wanted to spin off a little bit on this because, is it okay if Sharifa,
I'm enjoying the conversation. Okay.
Because, you know, you brought a couple things up, and I wanted to, Elizabeth, discuss a little bit more on in-depth psychology and how is it when somebody has faced years of trauma and they've suppressed it for so long, is avoiding the issue really as beneficial as not speaking it out and moving forward? Because sometimes people have kept their traumas in for so long and just saying, okay, we're going to focus on the positive, doesn't really give them justice to go in depth and just say, okay, this has been stuck in my psyche. How do I get it out?
Yeah. And I think there's a point where we have to just acknowledge talking about the facts of your past isn't necessarily negative. It happened. You can't deny it. And to your point, I was someone actually who endured a horrific traumatic childhood, and I suppressed it for years. So I understand very much of kind of your question, both professionally and personally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, avoidance is really a product of fear. Anxiety is a product of fear. And fear is really just projecting into the future what you don't want to have happen. Faith is projecting into the future what you do want to have happen. Again, you can't do both. You have to pick one. Mm-hmm. And so trauma therapy, or just, you know, facing your trauma, I think at some point you have to process it. Absolutely. And sometimes you have to talk it out with people. Sometimes people do great just journaling it. It really kind of depends on the trauma. Sexual trauma is going to change the brain and rewire the brain much differently than psychological or verbal trauma. We know that. So it kind of depends on it. But at some point, I also think you have to finally draw a line in the sand and say, okay, this is what's happened. This is the cards I was dealt. It's now, as an adult, it's now your responsibility to pick up the pieces where your parents or maybe your childhood failed you in some way. and to become that successful autonomous adult that we're supposed to, that our parents are really supposed to raise us to become. It's really about learning, how can I switch off that victim thinking? Because that's typically what occurs, as I know you know, from trauma or just, you know, any tragedy or victimization, let's just be real. It doesn't have to be, you know, a personal act. And then learning how to renew that mind, repairing that limbic brain, getting out of the rumination of the limbic loop, and just choosing a different way of being. And you know, I think a lot of us have some spiritual connection. And for me personally, it was finding God and saying, okay, I've done it this way. I've done it science's way. And I kept getting to a door. So show me a different way. Right. And it's also learning how to forgive, because a lot of trauma, a lot of people who've gone through traumatic experiences sometimes hold a lot of unforgiveness, which can really turn into bitterness. And so it's learning how to get those roots out of you and kind of pull that weed of bitterness out.
Yes.
Choosing to forgive. And one thing, just to go on a slight rant that I just cannot stand in modern psychology, is you can forget, but you can remember at the same time, or whatever that saying is. No. You cannot say you're going to remember and choose to forgive. You have to say, I forget and I forgive. And when you have to forgive from your heart, not your mind, and that's what a lot of people do wrong, is they forgive from their mind and they're not ready to give from their heart yet.
Right.
Process. And when you're ready to forgive, you say, I forgive. And then anytime someone brings it up, or there's little gremlins in your mind brings it up, you say, nope, I distinctly remember forgetting that. And then you move on.
It's called But you don't have to forgive the person. You don't have to forgive anyone who hurt you if you don't want to. And especially if they haven't asked for that forgiveness.
But that does hold you in bondage and fairness. I get what you're saying. They don't deserve, I get what you're saying, but choosing to not forgive someone hurts you more than it hurts them.
That's not what I said. You're not listening. You don't have to forgive someone. I'm an expert in this. This is like my expertise.
I apologize.
You don't have to forgive someone. What you have to do is you have to forgive yourself for allowing them to hurt you, and you can forgive them, but it's a choice. But you can release them from continuing to harm you emotionally, and you can choose to forgive someone at any point that you want to. But one of the most challenging parts about overcoming trauma is forgiving yourself for allowing that person to hurt you. And one of the ways is to heal through writing. It's very, very therapeutic to do that. Best-selling author Pauline Lundin, who wrote from depression to, you know, I can't remember the exact title of the book. It's an excellent, excellent book on recovering from depression and abuse, trauma, which I've also personally experienced in my life. And I help a lot of people overcome anxiety and trauma. And my upcoming book is a true inspirational story of how Janelle was sold into sex trafficking for 10 years. And how she overcame her trauma, being in the foster care system for most of her life, then being sold into sex trafficking, and how she is now a thriving, successful business owner, started a nonprofit organization, Beyond Freedom, and with the help of Tony Robbins, is now doing her first TED Talk. And my whole, you know, everything in my self-help realm and several of the books I've written are on anxiety and overcoming depression and trauma. And I work with a lot of authors who have experienced a lot of trauma. And but you don't have to forgive that person that hurt you in order to heal. You can release them from your energy. And if you're not ready to say, I forgive, you can say, I release you. And then when you're ready to forgive that person, then you are. But it's not something that should be forced, you know, to have to forgive someone. I also work very, very closely. I'm helping her write her first book with someone who has a psychology degree. And She specializes in abuse and trauma. She's writing her first book, and she says, you do not have to forgive. And if they haven't asked you to forgive, you shouldn't be pressured into having to forgive that person. It's much more important that you forgive yourself and you release them from continuing to harm you.
I think everybody has different perspectives on what's right for them. Some, you know, there's one of the posts that I made the other day that I got a lot of positive response to, and it was just simply saying, especially in this time, be kind. So if someone feels we need to open up the country, be kind. If someone needs to, feels that we need to keep the country closed down, be kind. If people feel like whatever it is, just be kind, because as a society, as a world, this is a global pandemic. People are dealing with whatever they're dealing with in their own way. And so, you know, we can study and look at science and people who've gone through different things, but people still, you know, respond in their own way. And this is a conversation that my dad and I have often about forgiveness. There are people in my family who have wronged me, and my dad will call and he'll tell me about them or what they're doing, or, you know, and I'm like, I don't deal with that person. And my dad's like, you have to forgive them. And I'm like, I don't have to forgive them. That's number one. And number two, I look at it like this, because people will be so quick to say, oh, well, that's the past. That's the past. You have to get over the past. You have to let go with the past. And in my little humble opinion, which only goes in Sharifa's world, like this is just applies to Sharifa only, not to any of you, not to people tuning in, but in Sharifa's world, it's not the past until the other person has done something to try to make it right. To me, it's still the present, because it's still an ongoing situation that if they're the person who have wronged me, it's their responsibility to make that initial conversation and say, Sharifa, I wronged you. I did you wrong. I shouldn't have cursed you out. I shouldn't have ran your truck into a house. Whatever it is that they did to me, it's their responsibility to right their wrong. And I am not going to have a conversation or communicate or hang out with them until we can, at the very least, have a conversation. But I believe, to Elizabeth's point, I don't hold on to it. I don't lose sleep. I sleep the sleep of the innocent, you know? So I'm not up at night with anxiety, like, oh my God, Andrea cursed me out and I don't know what to do. I'm like, you know what? Hey, we still good. But I know, you know, kind of how to deal with her. And I know that words are important, which is why I want to go back over to David, because David was talking about conscious capitalism. And those are two words that people really tend to kind of run far, you know, either you're conscious or you believe in capitalism. Am I correct, David, or am I far off?
You're correct. I would, before answering that, I'd like to, forgiveness is an area that I've also spent a lot of time on. We have to realize that we don't see the whole picture. We don't know why somebody did whatever they did. And so, without seeing that, we're only hurting ourselves when we don't forgive.
Yes.
And if we saw the whole picture, it would be much easier. Only our, from the spiritual standpoint, our souls understands what's going on and why somebody did something. So we are not able to do that. And so it's much better for us to forgive others and move on.
I'd also like to
go back to this and not dwell on the negative. And I agree with that 100%. Positive is certainly much, much preferable. But part of the problem we all have in this world right now, particularly, is that we all have some negativity in us. We all have some negative traits, some selfishness, short-sightedness, impatience, whatever it might be. And we have to look at that. And most of us will shy away from that because we don't like to see that in us, in ourselves. But by looking at that and deciding whether we want to continue in that trend or we want to change things, will affect the whole world. Each of us doing our own work, looking at our own negativity, is really important right now at this pause, because our values and our priorities are screwed up. Mm-hmm. And we need to look and see what am I doing? What are my behaviors that are contributing to the problems we have? And when we do that and we work on it, it's not easy work. It takes patience and it takes self-love. But when we do that and we gradually eliminate some of these negative traits, the whole world will be better off. And you know, we just need a small percentage of the world doing that, and we can really change things dramatically.
I just want to say,
conscious capitalism.
Hold on one moment. I just wanted to stop for 1 minute
because
we're going to go in a different direction, David, and I want you to answer that question. But I think each of us has spoke about forgiveness and positivity, and we have Marlana, and I want to give her an opportunity to at least discuss that.
Oh, well, thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely feel as though, you know, forgiveness is helpful. But what I also, what I'm feeling in the room, I feel like I'm in the room with everyone.
The round table.
And I'm feeling this sense of, you know, it's like an energy, you know, and I don't know if we've spoken to really the energy of the negativity, the energy of the positivity, the energy of people when they project on other people, when they're conversing and you're feeling the energy of the other, being empathic and an intuit, I just feel all of that. So it's interesting, everyone's dynamic. And to speak to the gentleman, I totally agree with what he was saying in regards to the fact that you never know what someone's gone through, what they've done, what led them to that path that they were on, to where they, you know, projected that onto you, or where they did whatever they've done. One of the things I do when I speak to my clients on a regular basis is try to help them not personalize it, because a lot of times we take the time to personalize what people do to us or do around us, or again, speaking to the victimhood mentality, instead of realizing that that's their stuff, you know, that's their ish, I would normally call it. And usually when they're going through something, they may project it onto you. And a lot of times we take that as our burden. And what I tend to help people with is letting go of that burden, because many times it has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with that other person. And especially in this day and time, we're getting a lot of information projected onto us from society, TV, all of that. Mm-hmm. And we're all kind of taking it in, and we may be reacting in different ways. So all of that to say, you know, I totally agree with you, Sharifa, in that how we deal with it, it's really it's about how we deal with it and how do we move forward from it and how do we better ourselves through the process, because we still have to look at the cup as half full, as the other young lady said. What do we do to where we can still remain positive in the process, because there's a lot of information that's coming to all of us that's, you know, kind of bringing that fear out, you know, the lack of hope or what have you. And we deal with that on a regular basis. It's just life. But it's about really realizing that, and then how do we discard it and move forward? How do we deal with it and move forward? Or how do we address it and then move forward? There's so many different ways to heal, and many people don't even know what's at the core of their issues. Right. So, and with everything else from the past, compounded by your own regular issues and compounded by, you know, society's issues, it's real. So there's so many different ways to deal with it. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to all of you, because you all kind of brought that out. And that was a beautiful thing.
I love that point too, because one thing I always encourage my clients to do is, if you don't come into agreement with the offense or with, you know, whatever's being thrown at you, if you choose to like not accept it, it's like if you ever broken up with someone and they just chain called you and chain called you and chain called you, or a friend, and you didn't answer, right? You didn't come into agreement with it. If we just kind of had the same and just chose to not be offended or not to get angry or to not get upset, we can choose our response. We don't have to come into agreement with whatever they're trying to project onto us, like she just so eloquently said. And that can really help you keep your mental palace your mental palace.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. David, I want to go back to the conscious capitalism and allow you the opportunity.
Okay, well, thanks. So being capitalism is neither good nor bad. It's how people, you and I, make decisions about how we share profits, how we take care of all the stakeholders as opposed to just the shareholders. So to be conscious means just to be aware of what our decisions are and how they affect others, and to treat everybody in a conscious way, follow the golden rule. So people sometimes say capitalism is bad. Capitalism is not bad. Capitalism is value neutral. It's how you make decisions within the capitalist structure or any other structure. It's this decision-making, the choices that are made, that can be either positive or negative. And so that's the basic idea, the thrust behind it.
What I love is that you actually took the time and energy to write a book about it and to go out and speak to people about it, because I spent the last few years creating events and speaking to people who are in the quote unquote conscious community. And being that my background is very corporate, one of the last official jobs that I held was working for American Express. You can't really get too much more corporate than American Express. But what I've seen is that people who have been in the corporate world who decide that they want to go into the conscious community or to go into the woo-woo community or use their spiritual gifts, they to a certain extent tend to just turn completely away from the money. And I'm like, okay, but you have to sustain yourself. You have to use your gifts, your talents to be able to pay the rent, to be able to survive. But because the energy, as Marlana was saying earlier, people tend to have the energy of being corporate as a negative, then they wind up, for lack of a better term, losing everything. So there has to be, you know, a middle ground, I guess it is, or the understanding, like you said, a balance, that it's not good or bad, but you have to be able to live and survive.
Mm-hmm. And it's a balance, like you said, everything has to be in balance. And in this world, we have focused on the material and what's best for me, and that's what causes most of our problems.
I'm just curious, David, this is just me because I'm nosy and I tell people that's why I do a show, just so I can ask nosy questions. But what is that picture behind you? Because it's been intriguing me the entire hour.
I'm so happy you're asking that.
That's the tree of life.
It is the tree of life. It's in yeah.
Oh, wow. It's beautiful.
It's in some tarot card readings as well. Yeah, some tarot cards. They have the tree of life. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it like that. Or maybe I didn't make the connection because I've seen the tree of life on tarot cards. But it's beautiful. I really love it. Andrea, I want to go and talk to you because, you know, we were in the Long Beach Holistic Chamber of Commerce together. We've been at different speaking engagements together. We've done one-on-one interviews. I also have Ash Sharifa Videocast, which is a one-on-one interview for guests. And we've done a lot together. But have you seen the same type of mentality as far as the conscious community in terms of finances?
So the question is, in terms of how do you get that spiritual aspect in and creating creating some type of money manifestation or bridging the gap? Okay.
Yes.
You know, and I think at the end of the day, you know, we have the ability to utilize our gifts, right? And create something with it. And if we're following our path, we have this ability to have this alchemy of saying this is valuable, and not only to me, but to those around us. Speaking on conscious capitalism, I actually really like the tree of life that you have back there. And the more that we're following our passions and doing what we love, then we have this ability, and we know that it's good for others. We have the ability to speak on it. As we have mentioned, the word is very valuable. The spoken word is very valuable. And I really appreciated hearing information on that. I'm curious about zipping it up as well. But the more we can put that out there, the easier it is that people will find meaning and value in that and be able to take advantage of a skill or a gift. You know, I want to say take advantage, but being able to see the value and the purpose of that and find the meaning. So I haven't had difficulty in this time finding clients. However, I have been doing a bit of of tithing. I've been tithing for the month of April, 20 minutes of my time for people who needed the trauma COVID therapy session. And also, it's amazing how trauma is such a catalyst for growth and for change, and how it inspires for people who are able to get to the point where they're ready to heal. There's a book called Ready to Heal, and there's by a doctor who had experienced not only trauma, I have also have a background, and in my childhood, I experienced trauma as well. So there's three of us who are really made a lot of great growth in decisions pertaining to that trauma, but people really resonate with being able to dive deep, dig into their past and bring something up. So yeah, I've had an opportunity to really work with people, and with that giving, with the value of giving, they're also wanting to heal. And in that regard, I have been receiving clients and been making some fiat capitalism as well. But I think that, right, that is a really good point, because I wanted to talk a little bit about community, because who knows where this economy is going, right? Who knows what's going to happen with the changes, whether we're going to keep our dollar, if it's going to go back to gold backed currency, or, you know, whether or not we're going to have a different currency system altogether. One of the things that I've been encouraging people to do who I've been talking with is to reestablish their sense of community. We're so used to going to our 9-to-5 jobs, right? We're so used to, you know, even if being in the corporate world, driving to a location, not all of us have had the privilege of working from home-based business, which a lot of entrepreneurs now are being able to do. I've made this switch recently within this time. And how are you, or how are we, let me pose this question, establishing our network of people so that, you know, I have this place in this community. There's a sense of maybe indebtedness. You know, I'll give you these grapefruits, and perhaps I will receive these strawberries.
Bartering.
What's that?
Bartering. I can't say how we're going to go back to the bartering system. That's
right.
We should have been gone back to the bars.
Yes, and maybe we can do that in smaller ways. And it could be something as support systems as well. Like, how am I going to be able to support you in this project? And you in turn are able to support me. Because right now, let's face it, currency isn't going away. So we still need that, you know, the energy exchange. But how can we further enrich our community with that? So that's a question that I would like to put out to others as well.
Well, one thing is this pandemic is making it very clear to us that we can't cure the virus anywhere unless we cure it everywhere. So taking the community to the largest aspect of worldwide, we all have to figure it out. And to the extent we're competing, like for equipment and for all other things, we're making the job much harder, and the problem won't be solved until we figure it out. So I'm expanding community to mean everything, the global community, really.
It could be,
And that's that mindfulness too, right? You know, we're all connected somehow, some way, that interconnection. And I think we forget it. For me, you know, my focus in life is really creating opportunities for other people as well, not just for myself. I like to do that. I know what it's like to not have a job and wonder how the heck are you going to pay your bills and be just, you know, in a straitjacket of fear and anxiety. And if you can help one person, then it's kind of like that command of chain. Eventually it'll rub off on everyone else too. It kind of starts with one person, and then you have to get that community going and growing and inspiring people. But I think we need hope right now more than anything too in our community, to know that, you know, this is gonna pass. This is gonna be the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Yes, I actually am a part of, I don't know if you've heard of Illuminate Festival. It's on the East Coast, Midwest. It's kind of going we go all over the place, basically. And with Illuminate Festival, a lot of things have changed. And that's where you basically have a lot of spiritualists come out. There's a lot of people doing readings, healings, you know, sound bowl therapy. It's all kinds of different modalities of healing. And a lot of that has slowed down because a lot of it was festival driven. It was all out there. But even like my mediumship group, what I've noticed is that they've taken time out to kind of do like what the young lady said in regards to giving, you know, different hopes and readings and things of that nature online, you know, just kind of putting it out there, putting that energy out there of positivity. So although some of the people have been talking about them not having as many clients due to the current environment, they're still trying to give in some capacity and just try to remain out there and continue to lift, you know, the light and kind of stay, keep the positivity going. So just to address your question, Shereen, we have all kind of seen a shift regarding that as far as those who can potentially afford it. And I love the idea of kind of tithing for a month. I'm going to take that one. I'm going to do that this next week on YouTube.
Oh, yes. I love it.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been really powerful. It's been very powerful. A lot of people really have enjoyed, you know, then they feel, okay, I'm not alone. You know, everyone's afraid to, you know, give money right now or even pay for things because they don't know where their next dollar is coming from. They're going to be unemployment, you know, whether their job's going to last for long, but just giving them an opportunity to get some value in it. And then it opens the door when things do change, you know, and I do totally believe that we are going to be able to bounce back from this. You know, I feel I resonate with this, this too shall pass. And then we'll get to a new norm, right? A new norm where we'll be able to exchange and we'll feel more empowered as a group and as a system.
Hopefully we'll be more appreciative too. But I mean, I think we've learned, I mean, I've at least learned, we don't need that much to survive.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was definitely a change for, I think, many people realize you don't really need that much. And the gratefulness is real. That new norm is real. I've been speaking to the new norm for the last, you know, for at least the last 3 or 4 weeks on YouTube, because I've been going live every week. And that has been the biggest thing. Everybody kind of changing that mindset from the old way of doing things to the new way of doing things. How is that going to look? So I love how she was saying how you have to kind of create these new tracks in your mind. What is the new way going to look like? Start kind of picturing that, getting those intentions in your mind now. What do you want your new life to look like? Because you can definitely create it. You know,
another thing that I love.
One of the things that I wanted to say, because we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, but back to what Andrea was saying is that there are a lot of people who are going through it, but then there are also people who their new norm is making more money than they've ever made before in their lives. Like me, for instance, I've been more successful as a business owner, a talk show host, than I've ever been in my life. My son, who worked at the Santa Monica Pier, he got laid off. He's making more on unemployment than he's ever made in his life. Yeah. He has the opportunity to do something else. He has the opportunity because from Long Beach, California to Santa Monica, California on the 405 freeway, it's about an hour and a half drive for him just simply because of traffic. He's staying at home. He's playing video games. He's relaxing. He's getting some rest from that long drive he had to do from all the work. And here in California, they're giving an additional $600 a week on top of unemployment. So if this would have been any other time in the world, any other time in life, he wouldn't have that $600. Me as a talk show host, because there are so many people at home, I have no problem finding guests. I have 5 guests per show booked until June. That's not an easy thing to do, but because of people are home, they're like, yeah, I have nothing to do. I'll come talk to you for an hour. So I've always been taught, raised, and I always believe that life is really what you make it. Like, I believe it was Elizabeth who mentioned earlier, or Marlana, about the glass being half full. If you see the glass as half full, your world is going to be half full. You see the glass as half empty, the world is going to be half empty. Everything comes down to perception and perspective. Now, I end on that sermon by saying, we are coming down to the last few minutes of our show. And at the end of every show, I love to allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to our audience, to everyone who's watching live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives, and give them a few final words that you want them to take away from your appearance. So we're going to start with David.
Okay. Well, the key, as far as I am concerned and what I've learned, is that we all have to know ourselves. And what is our thinking? What is our habits? What are our beliefs? And are they consistent with our values and priorities? And that's why I've recently written this book, Know Your Soul, because we're all part of a soul. And when you know who you are and you know what you're here for, you'll make the right choices. And so this is something that's really key in my view to changing the world, making it better, and helping us all as we go forward.
Where can we pick up a copy of Know Your Soul?
On Amazon is probably the easiest way. And okay. I think you'll all find it interesting.
I'm definitely curious, if nothing else, after today's conversation to know my soul. So we're going to move forward with Marlana.
Oh, you know, I just want to say I did pull a message, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to know what everybody needed to see for today. And what came up was a leap of faith. And so on my YouTube channel, what I do is I pull different messages for the masses every week. It's HP Marlena. It's HP Marlena on YouTube. You can follow me there. But what I've been noticing is like we were talking about earlier, right now, this is the time to do the things that you didn't feel like you could do before. Those times where you felt like you were boxed in, it's time to get out of that box. You have the opportunity now. Like you're saying, some people are making more money than ever. Some people are losing more money than ever. But the point is, what can you do differently? So right now, this is that time to really do that introspection and find out what your purpose is. So you can definitely, you know, jump out there on faith. So follow me at www.gracefulhealingretreat.com. And you can also definitely watch me on YouTube weekly. We talk about the divine feminine and the upliftment of empowerment, as well as just talking about advice for everybody on a weekly basis, what you need to look out for and what you can do to improve your life moving forward. So I love you guys.
Yes, I love you. Thank you for joining us for the third time. And that message for everyone is take a leap of faith. Andrea.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Marlana. I definitely want to connect with everyone in this group. I really found everyone's information so empowering. But on the same note, my message is to the collective and to the people watching to take advantage of this time to really turn inward and find what's on your heart. We have this Pluto going in retrograde and a couple other planets, which is going to be bringing a lot of things up. So while this is happening, if you did need a session, I'm going to be doing a May special instead of the April special, but for 20 minutes, $22, for 30 minutes, $33, for an hour, $55, and so forth. So if you wanted to take advantage of the time and the information that I have learned, then please feel free to do so and connect for a trauma COVID therapy. Also, I wanted to share on the shameless plug, this May 8th, Bodhi Studios will be doing a moon ceremony, which I am pleased to be a part of, with some sound and some really spoken amazing message with Lucinda. And she and I will be guiding that moon ceremony. So if you want to pop on, please go ahead and look us up through Bodhi Studios, B-O-T-I. I'll be sharing some information. Also, nightly, I wanted to give a little plug to my boyfriend, Daryl Hulse II, who does pretty much nightly Zoom calls, and we all learn various meditation styles from various people. So if anybody here would like to jump on there, you know, and give a message or do a guided meditation, we do have groups of people that come in and out of that and have a really wonderful experience from learning from other people, but also just getting that relaxation and having that community while we're social distancing online. And there'll be a couple other projects that I'm working on. I have also been really inspired to write a book as well. So I'll probably be connecting out with our friend who's on here, zipping it up. We'll be doing a couple other projects. Metaphysics is a group that I'm a part of, and Astro Club as well, where we're going into psychological and astrological and marrying the two and how that is beneficial to you to not only know your own natal chart, but how you are being affected by the cosmology that's happening right now. So those are just a few things that I would like to share. And
I love
advantage
it.
Of this
fact.
Sorry.
No, I love it. I'm like, that is what you call a commercial. And yeah. It was like, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm here and I'm doing there. Hey, I love it. I love it. That's what we do here on the Roundtable Talk Show. Shameless self-promotion. Elizabeth.
Cheers.
Yes. You know, at this time, you know, emotions essentially break down to two areas. You're either operating out of fear or you're operating out of love. And what we've talked about today is when you operate out of love, you're more successful, you feel better, and you're more financially free. So I encourage you guys to just pay attention to what are you listening to, because faith comes from hearing, but guess what? So does fear. So take this time to really grow your faith. And I just want to take this opportunity that if you are someone who struggles with negative thinking or toxic thinking or were victimized or just kind of want to really start the process of transforming or renewing your mind, I do have a program called the Victor Transformation Program, which takes you step by step to really learning how to let go of stuff, practice in that self-love, and really transform your thinking. And you can go to elizabethlewis.com/thrive.
I love it. elizabethlewis.com/thrive.
Yes.
See, I got it correct. Take us out, Irene.
So it's been so wonderful. Thank you so much. I want to reiterate something that you said about being kind. You know, you don't know what people are experiencing right now. And this whole pandemic has escalated problems that people are already going through. So just be kind, be grateful. Don't think about what you've lost or what you don't have. Just appreciate the people that you're with and what you do have, and be thankful and have gratitude. One of my upcoming books is called 21 Ways to Feel Happier, Even on the Darkest Days. And one of the first things that I talk about is just feeling grateful for everything you have. Cherish your moments. With that said, I have a lot going on too. We're all entrepreneurs here. So right, we all have our hands in lots of things. My upcoming course can take your business to the next level. I teach you how to write, publish, and promote your first book. Exactly how I started my first book, Zipping It Up, How to Lose 5 Pounds Fast. And if you happen to be one of those people who keeps going to the refrigerator while you're in lockdown, and you're suffering from what I call the COVID 15 instead of the freshman 15, right? Right. We're all like, I have ice cream sundaes every day, cake. I am offering a free copy, a free paperback copy of Zipping It Up. If you go to my website, irenegabelnick.com, there are links in the menu to all of my free giveaways. I also, if you're out there and you're watching this and you want to take your business online, I'm offering a free guide to learn how to use email marketing to take your business online so that you can come out of this successful and more successful than you've ever been with your business. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has multiple passions, and you can be using your voice in so many different ways through the internet and through communication. And I just want everyone to stay safe and healthy. And that's it. I plan to come out of this feeling stronger and more on top than I ever have. That's it. I'm so blessed to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure conversing with every one of you.
Well, you answered a question, Irene, that I was going to ask. And that was, if nobody else wanted to learn how to get into this little black dress, I do, because I need a copy of your book. I'm going to your website to get a printed copy of your book, because you were talking to me, you were speaking to me. And it's interesting because I have it's like a community here where I live. And because of this, we've been going to get mocha frappes with sugar and, you know, sweetener. And I never did that before. We never did that before, but almost every day now, it's like we have our morning frap. And I'm like, oh my God, but it's because we're sitting here. I don't know, but I need to get into that little black dress before I can't even be a talk show host. I'll be on what is that show, My 600-Pound Life, and that's not where I want to go. So I want to just thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I want to thank everyone who tuned in and watched the show live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archive. We definitely appreciate your support, but I am going to ask that you support us a little bit more. Go ahead and share the show. Go ahead and share the video, because our guests have not paid to be on the show, nor am I paying them. Everyone is giving of their time and energy and their resources to be here with you today. So support the guests, take a look at their websites, their descriptions are in the link. And if you are interested in being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asharifa.com. Until tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and blessed day. Bye now.